Let's just get on this internet and see what happens. Oh, look.
If you're part of the roughly 60% of Alaskans who have access to the World Wide Web, you know that it's just not the best. Susie Kendrick is a tote roader, as she puts it, a little neighborhood just a couple miles outside Soldotna, and in a kind of internet purgatory, at least for now. She's close enough to get hooked up, but not to the good line that brings high speeds to a select few areas around the peninsula.
I know, I've lived in the area for more than 35 years, and I can tell you that it's been hampering business growth in our general area. You know, we're in that middle spot where we don't have all of the other options that you would if you lived within the city limits. And I'm telling you, in today's economy, I mean, in the global economy, if we don't have internet, we cannot do business effectively and we can't grow. And I'm not talking about me personally and just being able to work from home. I'm talking about businesses that need to be able to sell their fisheries products in the summertime or to be able to reach out and get customers for their Airbnbs or whatever might be on the outskirts of the internet world that is currently available to us.
And through her work at Kenai Peninsula College, Kendrick also knows how important access to current technology is for education, and especially in rural Alaska, where the internet's promise of closing the distances between us can be all the more beneficial.
The wheel has spun on education in terms of that it's no longer necessary to live near an institution in order to get an education. However, an internet connection is 100% important. You can get an education from any number of high-ranking universities, including the University of Alaska, including Kenai Peninsula College, which is a leader in online education. But it doesn't really matter unless people can access those opportunities. That's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where the governor and, I don't know, I really hate to get politics involved in all of this. We're getting to that critical mass time. And folks, if we don't get with the program, we're going to get left behind.
The ubiquity of the internet is developed right along with its capacity to be monetized, and that's all based on the ability of the internet to connect people and services. Ride shares, the aforementioned Airbnb, not to mention all of the work done by independent contractors, web developers, graphic designers, all of those jobs and more are becoming a bigger part of the overall job pool as the overall economy continues its adaptation to new technology, all based around the internet. The gig economy is a neat buzzword that gets thrown around a lot to describe this, and of course technology is changing pretty much every existing part of the economy too, from healthcare to good old-fashioned brick-and-mortar retail shops. Out in Sterling is a place that kind of represents something of the old and the new, a locally owned retail store in an emerging industry trading solely in cash and totally reliant on the internet.
Everything but the heat and the lights is taking up bandwidth in here, you know what I mean?
Brian Keith is, among other titles, a tech guy at Permafrost Distributors, a cannabis retail store. He says it's not just the in-house operations that demand high-speed internet, it's also the law.
The way that the state tracks our inventory to keep things regulated is through the internet, okay? So that's just the baseline, like we have to have internet access to update our inventory every day at the end of the day. So, I mean, having some internet access is absolutely vital. And then we advertise online. We have websites where you can put your products up. So, I mean, you got to have constant internet access. The ATM uses internet access. The security cameras nowadays are frequently uploading or streaming online, so that's taking up bandwidth. I mean, my phone in my pocket, it's hooked to the Wi-Fi. Everybody's got one. All the customers have them. We have public Wi-Fi. So it's real easy with the low amount of data we have for that to get eaten up by just walking around doing stuff you wouldn't think twice about.
The expectations we have of what we should be able to do online are trending in a direction that simply demands more speed and more bandwidth. And in general, those are merely adequate right now, and that's not enough, according to Dr. Don Albrecht. He's director of the Western Rural Development Center through Utah State University, and he's spent a lot of time researching what happens when rural areas do and don't have access to new technology.
It requires more than adequate. Like you say, yours is adequate. It requires better than that, you know? We need better than that.
But that takes major investment, and right now it's tough to make the business case if you're an ACS or a GCI. The payoff is likely there, but it will take a while. Albrecht and others, including Governor Bill Walker, liken the issue to rural electrification in the 1930s. Government investment and local co-ops made that possible when there was no lucrative market for private capital.
Internet is just not as good in rural America as it needs to be. And I think to solve that, it's going to take public commitment, federal and state.
And there are programs dedicated to connecting rural America, but it's a slow process and the public money is tough to come by. The Federal Communications Commission administers what's called the Connect America Fund, and it does pretty much what you would think. But the FCC has faced serious budget cuts under the current administration, and the money that is there, an extra $500 million was announced this year for rural programs, just isn't enough. In Alaska alone, it would cost in excess of $1 billion to get statewide access to high-speed broadband. And even that's an old number, estimated by a state task force whose recommendations have been gathering dust since 2014.
What the internet and modern technology does is reduce the relevant distance.
As traditional industries change in rural America, the degree to which new technology can be made available is the degree to which those communities will find success in a revamped economy. Whether you're talking logging or fishing or mining, the same story tends to play out. Either the resource is exhausted or technology comes in to make it cheaper to extract that resource, and the result is the same, fewer jobs. One promise of the internet has always been the closing of distance, as Dr. Albrecht pointed out, but simple access to high speed, and that is the key here, high speed broadband internet doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of investment, and there are plenty of physical hurdles too, especially the farther away you get from everything. To get a better sense of what some of those limitations are here on the Kenai, I spoke with Ben Hansen. He's the IT director for the borough, and so he gets the challenge of keeping connections between remote outposts. He says there are a lot of options for getting people connected. That's not really the issue, but each one has its ups and downs.
So those three mechanisms, you've got light, and then electrical signaling over copper, and then signaling through radio waves. They each have sort of their own positives and negatives. Fiber optic, of course, is whatever, it's the fanciest and the fastest. The challenge is it's still expensive to create the optics. Some of the high-end optics literally have small rubies in them. I mean, those components might cost, a single connection may cost $600 or $700 for just the endpoint, not including all the equipment that endpoint has to go into. So fiber optic, extremely fast, can push over a distance of 10, 20, 50 kilometers. It's measured in tens of miles, whereas copper, the components are cheaper, but your distances are more in the 1 to 3 miles. So you've got much greater distance limitations and much lower speed. And then the radio spectrum is, in some respects, seems very attractive, but because radio is open air, the contention is in frequency. And there are just physical limitations of how far you can push with a given frequency, and then how many other people or entities can use that same frequency in a given space. So there are just different degrees of constraint.
All of those options are in play here on the Kenai, and then some. But again, cost is the biggest issue. It's a chicken and egg problem. Not enough customers to justify big investments, yet without the investments to make a better product, you don't gain many new customers. And what's frustrating for a lot of people and businesses is how close they might be to a high-speed terminal, but just not quite close enough.
And it might be as simple as a fiber optic line running on one side of the highway and not being present on the other side. And it may cost a carrier upwards of $100,000 or $200,000 to bore underneath a primary roadway in order to get that fiber optic line to the other side. And with population densities typically fairly low, it makes it difficult for those businesses to pencil out a profit.
Everyone I spoke to about this agreed that investment is the key. You're not going to get all of this infrastructure out into the hinterlands for free, or likely even in a way that's attractive to private capital. But that's not to say there aren't any resources being put into solving the problem. The Connect America Fund, established in 2014, is a federal program offering grants to telecom companies operating in remote areas. Alaska Communications Systems, ACS, received such a grant last year. ACS spokesperson Heather Cavanaugh gave the Borough Assembly an overview of the program then.
We'll be bringing high-speed broadband to 22,000 new locations on the peninsula. So that's 22,000 households. And then as we serve households, we'll also be serving small businesses. And the funding is specific for households. That's what qualifies. We serve a lot of enterprises, larger businesses and governments, a hospital, school district. Those are all of our clients. What we haven't been able to do is really invest in bringing that high-speed internet to everybody's houses. And that's what this funding is specifically for, is really for residents and small businesses.
But there's a big catch. The federal grant ACS is using stipulates that there can't be another carrier where ACS is trying to expand. So if you can get service from another carrier like GCI, you're SOL. I reached out to ACS to see how the project is coming along and if the new users are getting the speeds they've been promised. Kavanaugh replied with a brief email that only said they're still working on it, they're using fixed wireless, and what kinds of speeds and prices to expect. Ben Hansen says the fixed wireless technology is being deployed all over.
So that's the idea of building a tower that might be 100 to 150 foot tall. That tower might have visibility of a 2 to 3 square mile radius. So building a tower, bringing fast connections to that tower, and then doing point-to-point wireless to homes. SpitSpots and Homer has extensively proved up that that concept works very well, and it's being done across the country. So currently that seems to be the push, is fixed point-to-point wireless, because you can consolidate your investment in one central location, and then the subscriber access components, you know, sometimes are less than $100. And all of that radio equipment has come down in cost dramatically.
Don Albrecht can point to all sorts of individual cases of people starting remote careers or small towns being rejuvenated because investments were made in technology, but whether we can get those same benefits here with a piecemeal private approach is yet to be seen.
If we connect the world, and especially connect rural America, there's huge benefits. There's lots and lots of people who would prefer not to live in Los Angeles and New York, but that's where their job is. And frankly, as a society, we'd be better off if there's fewer people living in the big cities, causing less pollution and clogging up more highways. But, like we said, it requires more than adequate. Like you say, yours is adequate. It requires better than that, you know? We need better than that.
In Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.